May it please the court, I'm William Benjamin, the attorney for the claimant, Rosalyn McClellan. I think some of the facts should be brought out initially. Ms. McClellan had been granted unemployment insurance benefits in September of 2009 after working in three part-time jobs, and that those three part-time jobs established the base period that's essential to be eligible for unemployment. Her last full-time job had ended 5 years earlier in 2004 when she was physically assaulted and became physically and mentally unable to work 8-hour days. And this in turn made her eligible for Social Security disability benefits, which she began receiving in 2004. In the 2 years before September 2009, Ms. McClellan had been able to obtain and keep for some time three part-time jobs enough to qualify for unemployment benefits when she applied for them in September 2009. Between that date and in December 14th, 2010, she had received $74 a week for unemployment benefits after making 10 job contacts every week and reporting these to the CUB line, as she is required to do. On December 14th, due to some problem receiving her benefits, she went to the main office of the Unemployment Insurance Program and met with a claims person, a Deputy Jorgensen. During her interview with Deputy Jorgensen, she revealed that she was receiving Social Security disability benefits, which made Ms. Jorgensen believe that she should have been totally unable to work in any job and therefore was ineligible for unemployment benefits.
So during that meeting, did she also informed the deputy that she was mentally and physically disabled and did not know if she could work part-time?
I don't believe so. I think she just had been receiving unemployment and felt there was no problem.
If the hearing officer had found this, would that be sufficient for disqualification?
No, because as Deputy Jorgensen admitted, she had no knowledge of Social Security law. And Social Security allows recipients to earn up to $1,000 a month without jeopardizing their claims. So she had been revealing her job contacts to the unemployment office while she was while those earnings were being reported to the Social Security Administration. So both agencies were well aware that she was doing this work. But Deputy Jorgensen did not go into the case any further than simply to decide that because Ms. McClellan was receiving any amount of Social Security, she had to be disqualified from unemployment. As a result, we requested a hearing. And after the hearing officer found that Ms. McClellan had worked in a full-time job in the medical field in her base period and therefore was not looking for what he decided was suitable work in her job searches, since he believed that she had to be looking for full-time work in order to satisfy the suitable job provision of the unemployment laws.
You say that the hearing officer made a specific finding that the prior base period work had been full-time?
Yes. Well, he said that she had worked full-time in her base period, which was not true, because she had worked part-time jobs in her base period. Unfortunately, the division did not introduce any of its basic information in these cases, which would have shown directly exactly what jobs she had worked at and for how much she had made in those previous part-time jobs. In any event, we went on to the Industrial Client Appeals Office, of course, But the panel accepted the hearing officer's finding that Ms. McClellan's previous employment was in the nursing field and that she had been employed full-time in that field, so that her part-time job searches were not suitable ones. It also accepted the hearing officer's finding that Ms. McClellan was not able to work in full-time jobs and therefore was ineligible for part-time unemployment benefits. So this gets me to the legal issue here. Whether Ms. McClellan is eligible to receive unemployment benefits for part-time job searches when she is unable to work full-time due to physical and mental restrictions arising from injuries that had ended, in fact, her last full-time job in the nursing field 5 years earlier than her unemployment application. And as I pointed out in my brief, the panel failed to consider an earlier case of this court, which decided almost the same issue in 1982, the Bartholomew case. Bartholomew was a part-time bus driver who broke her ankle. As a result, she could not continue to drive a bus, but she was able to perform other work that did not require her to be on her feet. In that case, the Attorney General argued on behalf of the Industrial Commission that the claimant had to be able to return to her normal work duties as a bus driver before she could receive unemployment benefits. In Bartholomew, this court rejected that, or I should say a previous panel of this court rejected that argument, finding that an unemployed part-time worker is eligible for part-time benefits if she is seeking any part-time work for which she is qualified. In this case, Ms. McClellan was able to work in part-time jobs and had actually worked in three such jobs to establish her base period to receive part-time benefits. As a result, the suitable work for which she was required to seek in order to get unemployment was part-time work, not full-time work, because her last full-time job had been 5 years earlier. In fact, the hearing officer and the panel accepted the argument that Ms. McClellan was also unable to perform full-time work. So that, ironically, if she had been looking for full-time work, she would have been disqualified from unemployment benefits for seeking work which she was unable to perform. The only work she could be looking for was part-time work, and that's what she had been doing. So for these reasons, I request that the panel's decision be reversed and that the claimant be awarded the benefits that she's been improperly denied since December 14th, 2010. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Benjamin.
May it please the court, my name is Katie Allison, attorney registration number 39430, appearing today on behalf of the Industrial Claim Appeals Office. Your Honors, the essential question in this case is whether the claimant's availability for suitable work was so restricted that she could not meet the eligibility requirements of availability for suitable work. The initial burden is on the claimant to establish a prima facie case of eligibility for benefits.
Ms. Allison, if I may interrupt you, do you agree with Mr. Benjamin that a claimant may receive unemployment benefits based on part-time employment?
I do. Yes, there are specific statutes that refer and regulations that refer to part-time workers, and they are different than the statutes and the regulations that apply to full-time workers.
Base period here is part-time, not full-time?
No, I'm sorry if I misspoke on that. I do not believe the claimant was eligible for benefits based on part-time work. I believe the claimant, and the record shows that the claimant was only eligible for benefits based on full-time work.
You dispute that the claimant had worked part-time for 2 years prior to going into the office and meeting with the deputy?
Your Honor, I don't specifically dispute it, although what I have trouble with is that it was the claimant's burden to establish a prima facie case of eligibility in this case, and I don't think the record is clear at all as to where the claimant worked prior to receiving benefits. There's some evidence that the claimant hadn't worked in the 2 years prior to claiming benefits. There's some evidence that she had worked in part-time jobs, and there's some evidence that she couldn't work. There was also evidence that she had been an LPN for 10 years, that she was seeking work in the nursing field.
The claimant testified at the hearing that she had held three part-time jobs recently before the hearing?
She testified that she had held three part-time jobs, but there was no evidence as to when these jobs occurred. And it was actually in response to a question from the deputy. The deputy said, what jobs have you held recently? And she said, no, I haven't been able to work recently. So then the deputy said, well, what was your work for the three part-time employers? And she said, yes, that was part-time work. So it was unclear as to when that part-time work occurred. The claimant did not establish that she was available for full-time work. A claimant has to be available for all suitable work in order to receive benefits.
Mr. Benjamin just told us that that Ms. McClelland is not seeking unemployment benefits on the basis that she was available for full-time work, and that indeed I think he concedes that she was not available for full-time work.
Right. And
so then the only question it seems that's before us is whether she was available